Today's shir is Masechta Chulin Daf Pei Tes. We will begin Daf Pei Ches on the Beis. Five lines from the bottom. It says the Gemara Amar Rava, B'schah Sh'ama Avram Avinu, and the schah that Avram Avinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'nachi Ofa Ve'efer, he called himself both Ofa Ve'efer, Zocha Banav Shtei Mitzvahs. That's how we, Klai Yisrael, was Zocha to two mitzvahs. One is the mitzvah of Efer Parah, as we've been discussing, that if a person becomes Tameh, the way that the person becomes Tar is that we sprinkle on him, we prepare ash of the Parah Aduma, mix it together with the Mayim Chayim, with water, and we then sprinkle on him on the third day of his purification process, and on the seventh day of the purification process, and that's how he becomes Tahar. And if of a Saita, we know of Chas V'Shalom, somebody accuses his wife of an adulterous relationship, they give her to drink the water, which is water that came from the Kiyar, mixed together with the Parsha of the Saita in the Chumash, and we mix that together after we erase it, and if she's innocent, so he's fine, in fact, she becomes blessed. And if not, then the halacha is that then she will suffer a serious death. The question is that how do these two mitzvahs come together? So I saw them a very nice mashal. There was once a person who was really a very distinguished individual. But although he was a very distinguished individual, he was very modest and humble. And when he came somewhere, he would always sit in the back. But because he was such a great person, everybody else would come and sit next to him. Because, as Avraham Avinu, we just learned, said about himself, off of the Efer, he considers himself so insignificant, so what happened is, not only, of course, is he not insignificant, of course, he's a very important person, but what really happened is that the most important people sat, HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts the most important people next to him. The Beis HaLevi, very famous Beis HaLevi, says, why did Avraham Avinu call himself Ofer Ve'efer? He says, if we think about Ofer Ve'efer, Ofer is dust. Dust has no history. It's dust, it's earth. But it has a future. We plant in the ground, and after we plant in the ground, that will cause that he will, it will grow things. Efer is just the opposite. Efer represents the future. That has a past. It was something, and we burnt it, and it became burnt. So that's what Avraham Avinu said in his great modesty. He said about himself, "V'noichi ofa ve'efer." I'm a person that has no past and no future. And because he spoke about himself in such a manner, says the Beis HaLevi, he was given these two mitzvahs that we're speaking about. When we talk about the ofa parah, the ofa soita, that's something that reflects the future. That's going to be the way we know if this woman is innocent or not. The Efer Parah takes care of the past, that till now this person was Tameh, and now he will not be Tameh anymore. So because Avraham Avinu spoke about himself in such a very humble fashion, he was Zoicha to get mitzvahs that represent just the opposite of what he said about himself. Why don't we also include the mitzvah that we've been discussing in our perek of Kisui Adam? Answers the Gemara, Hossam, when we speak about Kisui Adam, Hechshe Mitzvah Iker, we're fulfilling a mitzvah, Hanoah Leka. There is no Hanoah from that mitzvah. Whereas when we speak about Efer Parah, that's something that we have Hanoah from. As we explained, the person whose Tameh will now be Tahar, and the Saita will also be something that you have hanah from, because the person now will be will have clarity about his relationship with his wife, and therefore that's why these two are mentioned and not anything else. Says the Gemara further, V'amar Rava, B'schash Amar Avram Avinu, because Avram Avinu said, Im Mechut V'Sarai Chanal, the Torah tells us there was a battle of four kings, K'dalayim HaMelech Elam, Tidal Melech Goyim, Amrafel Melech Shinar, Aryach Melech Alosar. They had a war against Melech Sadaim, Melech Mayra, Melech Adma, Melech Tzvayim, or Melech Bela, and they were able to prevail, and they caught and they kidnapped Lot, Avram Avinu's nephew, and they took everything that belonged to those five kings. And then Avram Avinu went to battle on behalf of these five kings, and not only did he go to battle on behalf of these five kings, but he actually went also to help his nephew, and he won. And at that point, when he came back from the battle, Melech Sadoim tells Avram Avinu, "Tain li es nefashos, give me back the people, as rechush, whatever belonged to me, you could keep." And Avram Avinu responds, "Harimoisi yodai el Hashem, kel elyon koina shemayim va'oretz, im michut v'atzroich anau lekach mishcha." Avram Avinu did not want to take anything. The truth is, as the HaMikdavar explains, Avram Avinu was really entitled to everything, because the halacha is that if somebody saves somebody's property from destruction, from definite destruction, he is entitled to keep it. But Avram Avinu did not want to benefit from something that belongs to somebody else. And because Avram Avinu showed this type of behavior, because he didn't want to have any benefit something that doesn't belong to him, that's why he was Zocha Bonov, his children, Klal Yisrael, was Zocha the two mitzvahs of Chut Shatcheles, that we wear tzitzis for a Tzur Shatfilin, and that we wear tefillin. And the question is, what are the connection between these two mitzvahs and Avraham Avinu's behavior? Says the Sefer Lev Arya that these two mitzvahs are mitzvahs that are easy to be forfeited. A person, we know by tzitzis, the Gemara often discusses that you could have something which is called kala ilan, which is a false imitation of tchelis. And the same, the halacha by tefillin. The halacha is that the tefillin could be not kosher tefillin. Avram Avinu, and this behavior showed that he's so careful about not taking something that doesn't belong to him. Because Avram Avinu demonstrated how careful he is to not touch something that belongs to him, that's how he was zoicha. That's why he was zoicha to these two mitzvahs that are a representation of showing that also think that we could be show honesty. Another pshat that I saw, that what Avram Avinu did, as great as we're learning it was, it's really nothing that incredible. You know, when we think about mitzvahs that can be done, a mitzvah that cannot be done, this is not a mitzvah that is so absolutely incredible. Yet we find that Avram Avinu did, the Torah is teaching us, even for what looks to us as an insignificant mitzvah, is really very, very important. And that's why Avram Avinu got these two mitzvahs. Says the Gemara Bishlama, says the Gemara L'Ritzu Shel Tefillin, we know that the mitzvah of tefillin represents something very special for Klal Yisrael. Because Ksiv, the pasuk says, V'ra'a Kol Ha'am Ha'aretz, that the entire world see Kishemesh Nikra Lecha. B'tanya, Rabbi Elazar Gadol Omer, when we speak about the Ra'a Kol Ha'am Ha'aretz, that the entire world sees who we are, that is a tefillin Sheberosh. Elachot Shatcheles, asked the Gemara, how from the Tchelis do we derive that much benefit? So Agamara says that the Raw Kala Amaris Kishem Shem Nikra Lechom Tefillin Shebarosh. And the simple pshat is because we know that on the Tefillin there is the Shem Shakai, Shin Dalajud. The Shin is on the Tefillin Shorosh, on the backs. The Dalid is on the back of the Tefillin Shorosh. And the Yud is on the Tefillin Shoyad. And therefore, explain the Mefarshim, since most of the Shem Shakai is on the Tefillin Shorosh, so that's why it says that the Shem Hashem is in the Tefillin Shorosh. I saw a beautiful story regarding this Gemara. There was once a situation where the Chassidim of the Baal HaTanya came to tell him that there were people coming to attack him. And the Baal HaTanya was not concerned at all. They were getting closer, and the Chassidim come running to the Baal HaTanya, and they're telling him that they're right here and you're about to be attacked. And he's still not concerned. When they're finally by the door of the house, the Baal HaTanya opened the window, and he put on his Tefillin Shorosh. He opened his Tefillin Shorosh, and they saw him wearing the Tefillin Shorosh, and they immediately ran away. And the Chassidim were incredibly impressed about what just happened. And the Baal HaTanya says that there's no great nace here. That the Gemara just said, we just quoted it, we wear the Tefillin Shorosh for Yarim Emeku, and that causes that the Umas Olam are scared of us. So why are you so impressed? So the Chassidim said, you're right, it's the Gemara, the Pasuk says it, but why did it happen by you and it never happens by us? To which the Baal HaTanya responded, he said, the answer is very simple. Because if we look at the wording of the Gemara says, Eilu Tefillin Shebarosh. Now, the wording of the Gemara is somewhat interesting. Shouldn't the Gemara have said, Eilu Tefillin Sh'al HaRosh? Why does the Gemara use the words, Eilu Tefillin Shebarosh? Says the Baal HaTanya, what this comes to teach us is that if you wear the Tefillin and they are Birosh, if the Tefillin penetrate your mind, if the Tefillin enter your mind, then they have the power to protect us. And the Baal HaTanya obviously was saying that the Tefillin that I wear aren't just worn on my head. They're actually become part of who I am. And therefore, since they're part of what I become, who I am, that's why they have this incredible power. Says the Gemara. So we asked the Gemara, what does it mean with what Hanor do we have in the midst of tzitzis? Says the Tanya, the Braisa says, Rameya teaches, man nishtana tchelis, why is tchelis different mikol tzvoinim than all other colors? Nei tchelis doim l'yam, says the because the tchelis looks like the sea, and yam doim l'rukia, and the yam looks like the sky, rukia doim l'ev and sapir, and the rukia looks like this stone. The rukia looks like this incredible stone. And that's how the kiseh cover looks. And the ksiv, as the pasuk says, v'yiras alakay yisrov asach l'raglov k'masa livnas asap gets a shemayim l'toyer. So that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks to us. K'mara even sapit the mus kiseh. So because when we wear tefillin, that's the way that we're able to remember our HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course, the question that many ask is, shouldn't the Gemara just said that it looks directly like the Kiseh covered? Why does the Gemara go through all these steps? So Rashi explains, because there is no pasuk that clearly indicates that that's the way the tefillin look, that that's the way the tchelis look. Only because we have all these steps that the Gemara has just taught us do we know that the tchelis remind us of the kiseh covered. And I saw that Rav Dushinsky explains that the way to understand the Gemara, there are two different types of nisim. really, of course, there are extraordinary nisim that happen, that when we see those nisim happen, we obviously recognize the hand of Hashem. And then there are nisim that are not that common. We don't look at them as nisim, but they really are nisim. As the Rabban says, Ein teva ba'olam klal. There really is nothing such. There's really no such concept of teva, of nature. Everything that exists in this world only happens because HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it happen. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't have, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give us that Hashgacha Pradis every moment of the day, then we wouldn't be able to exist for one moment. So he says, that's what the Gemara says, Yam. Tcheles Damel Yam. When we think of Yam, what we always will automatically think about is Kriyas Yamsuf. That's a nace. That's an extraordinary nace. But then there's the Rikia, which is the sky. When we look at the sky, we don't necessarily think of the sky as an incredible nace. But what the Torah is coming to teach us is that when we take the tzitzis, we should think both of the yam, and we should think both of the yam and both of the Rikia. That to remember that our entire existence is completely dependent on the Yad Hashem, and that the Yad Hashem is here both in the nisim that are obviously in nisim and things that are not obviously nisim. The Kedushas Levi, very much along the same line, says that we obviously are not able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The way we're able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And he says that's what we're supposed to do every time we take the tefillin, the tzitzis. Every time a person takes the tzitzis into his hands, he's supposed to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does it mean he's supposed to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He's supposed to recognize and realize that our entire lives are connected to the Yad Hashem. Says the Ma'amar Rababa, Kosh Gesel HaNachal. It's very difficult for a person to do tshuva on something that he ate up already, and it's no longer sand. Because a few tzaddikim gemurim eni chayim lahachziroi, something which was eaten up cannot be returned. Shenema, as the pasuk says by Avram Avinu, belodai raka shochla norim. As much as Avram Avinu did not want to take something that did not belong to him, he stipulated with the Melech Sodom that what he took, what the people who went to war with him, they're entitled to keep. Because Avram Avinu knew that he has no way of returning them. And therefore, even though he can maybe give the value, but it's not ever going to be exact. And because it's not going to be exact, he clearly stipulated that this is not included. Whenever you find something that Rabbi Elazar ben Yosef Rabbi Yosef Aglili taught us, and I got it to say, Oznach kafrachas. Open up your ears. Just like there's a receptacle that catches everything that's thrown into the mill, here too, make sure to catch everything that's going to be it's going to be said. As I saw, the Ben Yoyada explains, the place, the funnel in which the things are poured in is wide on top and narrow on the bottom. A funnel that makes sure that everything gets in. And here too, make sure to learn the lesson that we're going to learn now. The pasuk says, Loi merubcha mikol ha'amim choshek Hashem b'chem, v'yicha b'chem ke'at me'at mikol ha'amim. Om lai kodesh baruch l'Yisrael, kodesh baruch tells Klai Yisrael, choshkani b'chem, I love you. But he says, not because you're great, or you act as if you're great. Ela, the reason I live, because atma mat. Shafilash v'shosh ani mishpalacham gedula, even when I give you that opportunity, you always act in a humble and modest fashion. And the Gemara explains, Nosati Gedul Avram. Avram Avinu was blessed with greatness. And Avram Avinu says, Amal Afonai. And Avram Avinu says, Vanochi Ofa Ve'efa. Then the Gemara says, L'Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu was appointed the leader of Klai Yisrael. La'aron was appointed to be the Kohen Gadol. Amru, and their reaction was, V'nachnu Mo. The David, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives David HaMelech to be the Melech Yisrael, and he says, V'anochi Salas V'layish, he compares himself to a worm. Other nations of the world are not that way. Nasati gedula leNimrod. I gave a position of power to Nimrod. And Omar, he says, Hava nivna lo'ir, umigdav rosh b'shemayim. He used it to try to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Paroi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave this incredible position to Paroi. Omar, mi Hashem, asher shem v'koil l'shalach b'nei Yisrael. He dismisses paying attention to Klal Yisrael. He gave gedula to Sancheriv, and Sancheriv says, mi b'chol el rotzois, who is a god? No king in the world was able to stand up to me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot stand up to me either. Chas v'shalom. Ela abam se'av. He says, I'm going to climb up to the clouds. Edma le'elyon. I'm going to be like a god. Says the Gemara l'chiram melech tzur. Ama I kela ani Moshel kim yoshe b'leiv yam. He put himself. He made something like had skies with place between all those rukim, and he did that all to show what he is considered best, greater than anything else. So I saw a beautiful vart from the Bava Rebbe. The pasuk says, "Kel nekamais Hashem, kel nekamais Sofia." And the question that the Bava Rebbe poses is that Hashem is midas harachmim, and kel is midas hadin. So his question is, how in this pasuk do we have this combination of the word kel twice? Kel nekamais Hashem. The pasuk is saying kel. On one hand, it's considered midas hadin. On one hand, it's considered midas harachmim. What is it? So he explained what a beautiful mashal given by the Chassidish Sforim, the Zrich Magen and others. They said there was once somebody who did something terrible against the king. And everybody expected the king to punish him in a very severe manner. And that's not what the king did. The king did just the opposite. The king actually brought him into his home, into his palace, and treated him in such a generous fashion. And this person, as he was living in the home of the king, came to the recognition, which he had never had before, of what a great, benevolent, wonderful person this king is. And as he came to that recognition, he then had even more regret for what he did. He said, how could have I treated a king that is such a great person in such a very disrespectful manner? And that's why he came again to ask the king for forgiveness. And the king, what he did then, was even give him more and make even more generous to him. And as the king was even more generous to him, that again caused this individual to feel so bad and again regret even more what he did to such an incredibly wonderful person. He says, that's pshat in the pasuk, kel nekama is Hashem. The biggest nekama, the best way that a Kadosh Baruch Hu could do nekama against somebody who did something wrong, is Hashem, by bestowing on us the midas harachmim. And the more we benefit from the incredible generosity of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the more we come to regret for what we've done wrong. And that's why we say, Mishoich Chazdech, we say it in the Zmiris Friday night, Mishoich Chazdech Loidecha, Kel Kanavanoikeng. If we're asking for Chesed Hashem, how do we call him Kel Kanavanoikeng? That's just the opposite of Chesed. The answer is the biggest Nekama, and that's the Nekama that we ask for, is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu should bestow on us incredible generosity. And that will be the way that we will realize that we haven't done what we really ought to do. And that's Pshat, he said in the Gemara, says the Bava Rebbe. B'shar shani mishpia lechem gedula. The more I give you gedula, the more I give you gedula, that's the more that you have reason to regret for the way you behave to Kadosh Baruch Hu. I saw another Pshat from the Sefer Or Pnei Yeshua. He says that the pasuk says, "Af chayvav amim." If HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves other nations to the of the world, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they only use it against him. But Klayisol Kol Kadoshov Biyodecha Tikular Aglecha, when they do what's right, Tikular Aglecha, when you treat them right, they think that they're Aglecha, they look at them as very small. And that's what the Pasuk says in Tehillim. Miyala Bahar Hashem Miyokim Kam Kotshoi Nechich Apayim Ashloi Nosulashav Nafshi. A person who doesn't consider himself great, a person who considers himself low, he's the one that Yisa Brocha. He's the one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him Brocha. The Mefarshim, I saw that the Sefer Chashukei Chemed actually explains that he speaks about a person who got a present from a king and a garment. And the garment, the Medrash discusses this, where he was given a garment by the king, and somehow the garment tore. And when the king saw that the garment tore, the king wanted to slap this person. As he picked up his hand froze, and the Talmud Chacham was the one that was able to get him to his hand should unfreeze. The Mefarshim asked, how did a Talmud Chacham take a garment that was given to him by a king and wear it when it was torn? Isn't that a terrible disrespect to the king? And the answer the Chashukei Chemed suggests is what we're learning in our Gemara. Our Gemara is teaching us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us so much, and what do we do with all the blessing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us? Atem mematen atzman. You take what you're given, and whatever you're given, you use to not be considered that important. When Klal Yisrael act in a way that they don't want to be considered great, that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves them. I saw that the Sefer Yitev Ponim explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram Avinu, Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avram Altira Schercha Habi Ma'od. Avram Avinu was concerned that because HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to him the nace that we just learned in our Gemara with the kings, and he killed the kings, he was worried that he got all the schar and he's not entitled to any more schar. And we find the same by Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu says, "Katanti mikolach sodom and amis." He explains that that's the way Talmid Chachamim act. That Talmid Chachamim, the tzaddikim, the way they act is that every time HaKadosh Baruch Hu does something on their behalf, they don't act as if they deserve it. They act as if they don't deserve it. And because they act in such a way that they act as if they don't deserve it, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that you deserve even more. I saw that the Rishon Rebbe gives a mashal to this Gemara, that there was a person who was sentenced to death by the king. And as he's about to be hung, his friend comes running and he tells to the king, leave him alone because I'm really guilty. And the person who's about to be hung says, it's not true, I'm the one that's guilty. And the king is so impressed by these two individuals that these two friends are so close to each other that each one wants to take the blame and spare the other one. So the king says to them, you know what? I'm going to spare you, but with one condition. I want to be part of this friendship. This loyalty and friendship that we see, that I see exists between you two, is something that's so beautiful and so incredible. I want to be part of it. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ke'atam amat mikol ha'amim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees the incredible achdus that we should have amongst Klal Yisrael, says the Gemara, you know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says? Choshkani bechem. I want to be part of this group. I want to be part of this friendship and this modesty. That's what I want to be part of. The Sefer Yitapanim gives another explanation. The Pasuk says that Yosef when he finally revealed himself to his brothers, he said, "V'gadatem le'avi es kol kvoidi b'Mitzrayim." Here, Yosef was the king, or the vice king of all Mitzrayim. He was in such incredible power, in such an incredible position. But all he said was that, as kol, that everything that I have is only b'schus of my father. And the same we find, he says, Shlomo HaMelech, as he begins writing Sefer Kehelis, he says, Divrei Kehelis ben David Melech Yerushalayim. Shlomo HaMelech doesn't take any of the credit for himself. He says, the reason I'm a Melech, he says, is because I'm Divrei Kehelis ben David, because I am the son of David HaMelech. And what we're learning from here, he explains, is that great people, if they don't take the credit for themselves, they give all the credit to others, that's how they are zoichet to have bracha, atam hamat mikol ha'amim. Amar Rav Avitamer Rabbi Yochanan, Golem Shneva Avram, it's greater, by Moshe Aaron, it's greater what the Pasuk says by Moshe Aaron, Yosem HaShneva Avram, more than it says by Avram Avinu. Deal by Avram Ksiv. Avram, when he speaks about himself, says Vanoichi Ofer Ve'efer. Ofer Ve'efer are something. Elam Moshe Aaron, when we speak about Moshe Aaron, by Avram, they say Vanachnu Ma, that we are nothing. I saw that the word Ma could be used in two contexts. Ma could be used in a context of being something that's insignificant. And ma could be also used in something ma that means it's something significant. And what they were saying about themselves is that we have this ability to decide that on one hand we are super humble, but on the other hand, when we need to be strong, we are not being strong. Moreover, I saw that Ramey Shapiro explains Pshat in this Gemara. Avram Avinu, because it's difficult to understand how the Pasuk, the Gemara, is comparing Avram Avinu to Moshe Rabbeinu in measuring their modesty. So he says, when Avram Avinu said, "V'anochi ofer ve'efer," he was considering himself, he was talking about himself. And he says, "I look at myself as anochi ofer ve'efer." Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, when they said it, they were saying it, comparing themselves to the rest of Klal Yisrael. And they were saying about themselves, "V'nachnu mar," we're nothing. I saw a very beautiful pshat, that there was once a person who came to shul on Yom Kippur, and he was davening, he was crying, it was a sight to see, something to learn, how a person davens and a person stands in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with such incredible modesty. And the Gaboim said that this person is such a special person, we should give him an aliyah. They gave him an aliyah, but they didn't give him the most important aliyah, they didn't give him the nicest aliyah. And he got very upset. And they didn't understand. They said that you, as you were davening, you were crying, Adam, you saw the mayafar, the saifah v'lafar, you were saying that a person is nothing. And all of a sudden, when you're not given the nicest aliyah, you're upset. How does that work? So he said, of course, when I'm speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I say that Adam, you saw the mayafar, the saifah v'lafar, I describe myself as being worthless. But when you gave me an aliyah that is not as schoshiv as the aliyah you gave to someone else, you're comparing me to other people. I'm greater and better than other people. That's the lesson of Moshe Rabbeinu v'Aaron HaKohen. They said that not only are we not great, are we nothing compared to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we're nothing even compared to compared to other people. That is considered true modesty. The world cannot exist only in the merit of Moshe Aaron. The pasuk says v'nachnu ma, and the pasuk says toila aretz ablima, says that the people that consider themselves blima like nothing. And the Gemara actually explains what that means. Ena olam miskayim. The world only exists for because of people who know how to keep quiet when there's any dispute. Shnema, as the pasuk says, indeed, Torah eretz ablima. Says the Gemara of Yitzchak Vuomer, Misha meisim atzma kimisha enoi. The world only exists for somebody that makes as if he doesn't exist. Shnema umetachas royas olam. He can makes the world continue. And the way I saw that the Ben Yoyada explains that there are two different types of situations. There's a situation that when somebody is attacked, he doesn't say anything, but in his heart, he's upset. But what our Gemara is teaching us is that not only should a person not respond, but what really makes a person great is that it doesn't bother him at all what they're saying about him. How should a person act in this world? He should always be silent and be quiet. Maybe when we speak about Divrei Torah, the same that when we speak about Divrei Torah and somebody is disagreeing and you say and you think that what he's saying is wrong, you should just remain silent. Says the Gemara, Tzadik Tadaberin. When it comes to Torah, which are obviously the words of Tzadik, there you should Tadaberim. You should say what you have. You should say what you have to say. So now Yochel Yogistati, if somebody was able to say very powerful Devarei Torah, we would think that that's something to be very proud of. Tells the Gemara, Meisharim Tish Bnei Adam. He should just like the world. With flat ground, just like with the world is flat ground, and the world that's flat is the easiest place to walk, here to a person who's able to remain silent under all circumstances, like flat ground, doesn't let it get to his head, that's the one. And I saw that the Avos Yisrael explains, what does the Gemara mean to say, Yochel Apa Divrei Torah? Because the Gemara is saying that there, in life, when it comes to Gashmias, there we have to have bitachon, that we don't have to try to do that much, and we should rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore we would think that the same comes for, as the Pasuk says, Hashach al Hashem yahavcha, v'hu yichalkalecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of what we need. And we would think that the same go for Divrei Torah. Teaches us the Gemara that when it comes for Divrei Torah, that's not the same. When it comes to Divrei Torah, a person shouldn't just take the attitude that everything is okay. He should try to yugata mitzasa, work on learning, and then he'll be successful in his learning. Vam Rav Zeir Vitem Rabbi Yom Mechassin, going back to Kisei Adam, we'll later do Kisei Adam, but Afar, Eran Edachas. Torah HaKadosh teaches us that if you have a city that most of the city worshipped Avodah Zarah Rachman Slon, what the halacha is that we have to burn that city. And you have earth left over, ash left over, and the halacha is that you're not allowed to have any hanah from earth, from that Iran Nidachas, but the halacha is we can use that ash for the mitzvah of Kisui Adam. I saw that the Sefer Knesset Yisrael says that when the Gemara says Ma Umnosoi, it takes an umnis, it takes a profession, it takes a lot of work to know how to be quiet. It's not something that comes easy. A person has to work on being able to remain silent in the face of people who are trying to attack him. But ask the Gemara, why can we use this ash for the mitzvah of Kisui Adam? Isurei Nahu, we're not allowed, as we just said, we're not allowed to have any benefit from anything from the Iran Nidachas. The Torah Gedosha says, V'lo yibak b'yotcha mu'uma menacherim. So how can we use it for that purpose? Amazir, lo yinitzricha, alafa afar. What it means that the earth on the ground of the Iran Nidachas, that's something that we're allowed to have enough from, and that's what could be used for for Kisu Adam. Because the Pasuk says the Ksiv, Ves Koshlal Tikbat Zatoich Ruchavas Rafta Be'esh. From here we learn, Misha Nechotzer El Kvitzav Esefer, the obligation to burn only, applies by something that has to be collected and burned. Yotze Shemechush Tlisha, something that's connected to the ground, which has to be picked up from the ground, the Kvitzav Esefer, is not something that you're not allowed to know. Rav Amar, Rava has a whole different explanation. He says, mitzvah lav lahenes netnu. You're not going to have any benefit. You're not going to have any benefit from the Eir Nidachas. But the benefit of using something for a mitzvah is not considered having benefit. There is a very big discussion amongst the Paiskim. This is the klal of mitzvah lav lahenes netnu. But when do we say the mitzvah? When do we say the rule of mitzvah lav lahenes netnu? A mitzvah lav lahenes netnu. One of the best examples is if somebody goes to a mikveh, and the mikveh is, you're going to the mikveh because you're tummy, you need a mikveh, but it's a hot day and you're going to a cold mikveh, vice versa, would you be allowed to go to that mikveh? When you're having hanos haguf, is that still included in mitzvah lahav lahenes netnu? Because the Gemara actually says in Masechta Rosh Hashanah that if somebody made a neder that he's not allowed to have hanos from a shofar, he can't use that shofar to blow on Rosh Hashanah. Even though we say mitzvah lav the hanes netnu, the Gemara says that you could be yoitza with the mitzvah with that shofar, but you shouldn't blow that shofar. But it's very interesting. There's a very famous Egle Tal that says that even though our Gemara just taught us that there's a rule of mitzvah lav lahenes netnu, the Egle Tal says there is one exception to that rule without any question, and that is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. When we speak about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, even though we learn Torah, of course it's a mitzvah, v'gisa b'yom and v'layla, but part of the mitzvah of learning Torah is enjoying what we learn. And therefore, when it comes to Devei Torah and having geshmak in Devei Torah, nobody suggests that we should say mitzvah lav lahenes netnu. Yos Ravina v'kamala shmatza. Ravina was saying this, what Rava said. Eser Ravchumi or Ravina, Ravchumi asks him, as we just said, the Brisa says, Shav shal avetz kam la yitkaba, my lav, im taka la yotza. Says the Gemara, loy. If you had a nether, not to have a no from the shofar, the halacha is, if you blew with it, you will be yotz the mitzvah. Ask the Gemara, but there's another Brisa. The Brisa says, lulav shel avodah kochavim lo yitol. You're not allowed to use the lulav of avodah zarah. My lav shem natol lo yotza. Says the Gemara, loy. Again, since mitzvah lav lohenes netnu, the Gemara is suggesting, im natol, if you took it, you were yotza. Ask the Gemara, Tanya, have we not learned, and the Brisa asked the Gemara, taka lo yotza, that if you use the shofar of avodah zarah, you're not yotza. And the Brisa expressly teaches us, notol, if you took the lulav of avodah zarah, the aluminum of avodah zarah, lo yotza. Amar Ravashi, hachi hashta. Hosom, when we speak about the shofar and the lulav, sure be inan. There's a halacha, how big a shofar has to be. It has to be long enough that you hold it from two sides. You hold it in your hand, and the shofar still sticks out from both sides of your hand. And certainly when we speak about a lulav, as we learn in Masechta Sukkah, there's a shear to it. Avodas kechavim, something which is avodah zarah, the halacha says, ketusei mechdeshure. The halacha says it's considered as if it's burnt. And if it's considered like it's burnt, so obviously it doesn't exist. Hachab, but when we speak about the earth, kamad maximali, destroying it is exactly what we're supposed to do if it's the earth of the air and the dachas, and that's why it's actually the best thing the Gemara is suggesting that should be used lechusi, to be used for kisei adam, because the more it's earth and ash and sand, that makes it more kosher for the kisei adam. Hanulach kisei adam, hanulach kisei adam, hanulach kisei adam. We all remember, as we're going to be discussing extensively in our perek, that the Malach fought with Yaakov Avinu, and when he fought with Yaakov Avinu, he caused that the Gid HaNosha of Yaakov Avinu should be displaced, And because of that, the Torah Kedosh says, "Al kein lo yochel bnei Yisrael skira nosho ashal kaf ha-yerech ala yom hazeh, ki noga b'kaf yerech Yaakov b'gir ha-nosho." Says the Gemara, "Gir ha-nosho noig b'oros or b'chutz l'oros." The din of gir ha-nosho applies both in Eretz Yisrael and chutz l'oros. Again, the Rishonim point out that's obvious. Only mitzvahs atluyos b'oros can we differentiate between Eretz Yisrael and chutz l'oros. This is not a mitzvah atluyos b'oros. They explain what we're learning here is that this din is used because all the Mishnais and some Mishnais, it is a Chiddush. That's why it's mentioned. B'fnei Bais, B'shloim B'fnei Bais, both when the Beis HaMikdash is standing, when it's not standing. B'chulim U'mekdoshim, it applies both to animals that are chulin and kachim, something we'll discuss extensively in the Gemara. B'noi B'behema B'chaya, it applies both by Behemoth and Chayas. B'yerach Shal Yamin or B'yerach Shal Shmoel, both on the left side and on the right side, and the left side of Enenoi Baif, it doesn't apply by a bird, Neshe Enlakaf. The Gira Nosh is on the hip that's like a semicircle, and that doesn't apply by a bird. Noig Bashlil, we've spoken about this, that if there's a fetus that's found in its mother mother's womb and it's in its ninth month alive, that's a Tanakama, Yudaimer and Noig Bashlil, the Chalboy, furthermore, the Chalev of the Shlil is Mutter. He says that there's no problem of Chalev by Shlil, as we learn, because it's considered just like an organ of the mother, not the mother itself, not an independent animal. People who are butchers, who we are not trusted that they took out the Gira Nosha, but they're Diver Emeya, and as the Mefarshim explained, since taking out the Gira Nosha is very time-consuming and complicated, we have to be concerned when they say something that they did it, that they maybe didn't do it. However, the Chamarim and the Manim, we do trust them that they took out the Gira Nosha and they took out the Chalev. The Shach says that we know that there's 365 Gidim in a person and they correspond to the 365 Mitzvahs Loisasei. But every Gid is for one day of the year, and the Gid Anashi says is for Tisha B'Av, and that's why we don't eat the Gid Anashi, because on Tisha B'Av, we're not allowed to eat. Here we learn that a machloikis, can we trust somebody that they took out the Gid Anashi or not? But the Paiskim differentiate the when is this halacha applicable. This halacha is applicable in a case like the Gira Nosha, which, as we're going to learn, it takes expertise and work to take out the Gira Nosha. When it's not something that difficult, everybody would agree we could trust him that he took it out. Mekdoshim Pshita. The Mishnah said that Gira Nosha applies by Kachim. Asked him, of course, Mishum de Agdashay, because it's Hegdish, why would we say Pokale Issegidminei, that it doesn't have the Issa Gira Nosha? V'chi Taimo, and if you want to say that the Tan of our Mishnah saying Yesh Begidim Benoi Satam, we're going to have a very big discussion in our Masechta if Gidin give Tam, and the Tana of our Mishnah says that the Gid does have Tam, and therefore Osei, and that's why even though the Gid Anosh is already Osir, and there's a cloud, there's a rule of Ein Issa Chala Isser, but Os Issa Mekdoshim Chala Issa God, the Issa Hegdish is on the God, the Gid, because you're over two Isurim, one for the Isser of Gid Anosh, and one for having Hanof and Hegdish. So if that's what the Mishnah is trying to teach us, ask the Gemara, the way the Gemara should have expressed, the Mishnah should have expressed itself, is Hai Mekdoshim Nehagim B'Gid Migoyle. It should have expressed that by Gid applies to Kachim, that you have an animal that's Kachim, but since the Mekdoshim applied to Gid, not the other way. El Kosover, the Tan of our Mishnah holds, Ein B'Gid Minos Tam. A Gid that's cooked with anything else is not, doesn't give Tam. Or Mekdoshim, and the Mishnah is teaching us when we speak about Hegdish, is it Gid Iker? Even if it doesn't have any Tam, there'll be an Issa Gid, because the Issa Gid is independent Isser, but Isser, Mekdoshim, ain't by, they wouldn't be any Issa Mekdoshim. Ask the Gemara. Sovatani d'dan ein begidim nois and tam. Vatanan, we're going to learn in a Mishnah that tzadik vav yerech shen spash bagid anasha. A thigh that the gid anasha was cooked in im yesh by nois and tam. If it gives off tam, if it's a shear of 60, it's a surah. Says the Gemara al hachav avlad is kachim askin. Our Mishnah speaking about a vlad of kachim kasava noig b'shlil. And the Tana holds that it applies to Shlil. V'ksav v'lods kachim b'mei iman kachim. As soon as they created, they become hegdish, and therefore is a gid isim gdashim b'adi hadadi kaasi. They come at the same time, and that's why both isurim, since they come simultaneously, even if we say enes achal al iser, that will not be relevant over here.